if the more that you hold your line, the more that you hold your own place and say, yeah, this is what it is. How do you negotiate with that? Welcome everybody to the Slow Pitch Podcast, where we talk about sales. And hey, there's Lane. How are you doing over there, Lane?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you today?
Doing well. And I understand we have another question that came in. Is that correct?
We do. Mark the photographer.
How did this come in? Do you know?
By a carrier pigeon.
All right, let's bring it.
So Mark the photographer from Connecticut, he writes, Robin Lane, I have a question for you. He's a photographer who deals with decent sized clients. He says, sometimes I have a smaller potential client that will ask for pricing. They have a vision of grandeur with huge expectations, but don't have the budget to support what they're looking for. They get overly excited about doing the project, but then go silent when I give them the numbers that it takes to create what they want to create. That's when they start to nitpick me down on my numbers to lower my prices. I feel like my pricing is accurate, where it should be, and I don't know what to do when it happens. How do I stop that negotiation?
That is an interesting question. And I think what ends up happening is if you get too far into the process of selling and you're starting to get negotiation toward the end there, you're missing something. So let's cover that. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Slow Pitch Podcast, a podcast about selling less and closing more.
So Rob, let me ask you something. Just before the intro, you made a statement that sounds like there shouldn't really be negotiation and the pricing shouldn't be a surprise.
Well, there really shouldn't. And that's part of that process that we talked about before. And I think I guess this whole question that comes in, it makes me realize we should probably just briefly go through the overview of what the slow pitch is all about and why we call it that. And I think that was my first impression, my first thought was, if this was a surprise, this price, this number, whatever you gave them, Mark, is a surprise, then you're missing some components. And I want to make sure that we back up a little bit. And while you may not have gotten the sale, I don't know, but let's say you didn't, this is the perfect time and the perfect opportunity to do a postmortem and figure out what did we miss here and what is wrong. So just like any bad surgery or any other bad play on the field that you do, you want to go back and go, all right, what did I miss? And I think that's kind of what I thought we should start with, is quickly go through that process. For everybody's sake, let's go through very basic elements of what we're talking about when we talk about the slow pitch. We kind of related it a little bit to baseball in terms of the slow pitch, but it's not baseball. And when we talk about the slow pitch, when we talk about the slow pitch in sales, we're saying you need to slow your process down because that's when people will buy easier. But we relate some of these steps to baseball because it's easy. So first base, when you get to first base, that's that first meeting that you're going to have. It's the time that you say, I want, as a buyer, I want to know who you are. And as the seller or as the salesperson, I want to know who that person is too. So I want to get to know their style, their personality, what they're like as a person, so that I can now speak to them in a language that they can relate to me. And then the second base is really getting into the weeds of the business or the problem. So in second base, I'm asking questions about what their problems are. What are they running into? What needs to happen? How do you fix this? You know, how much is it costing you by not fixing it? All those pain questions that we kind of have gotten into before over the course of several different episodes. All the pain questions do is give them a place to talk about where the problems are in their business and or with whatever they're trying to buy and how that's related. And then how does that affect the business's bottom line? So now they have a reference point to what their whole business is going through and what that's going to cost them by not doing it, or what the potential is that they could have if they buy your product or service. So there's a value on either side of that. They just need to be able to have a relative point to point back to say, this is what I would happen if I do or do not do this, right? That being said, on third base, you find out who needs to be involved in making the decision as to whether or not they're going to work with you or not. And also where the money is coming from. How are you going to pay for this is what I want to know from the seller's standpoint, right? So if I'm selling something, I want to know that if you're going to give me a contract that's signed, I want to know where are those funds coming from and how are you going to get it? And how long is it going to take? And all the different pieces that go along with that. And then finally, the last step is home plate. When you come home, basically all you're doing is signing the documents. That's the official part of the home plate. It's just the last few steps to get the sale. It's finalizing everything. It's, you know, making sure that the document's not missing anything. Is there a number that's not quite right because we didn't anticipate this added thing that they wanted to add on later on? But usually that's not the case. Usually by the time you get to that point, they already know the numbers. They already know what they're getting into, and you're just finalizing everything. In fact, that particular, just like in, it's opposite of baseball, where when you cross home plate, it's a big deal. Like, that's a huge step. In sales, if you're doing it right, the home plate becomes a non-event, almost where they're just, this is what we're doing, let's go. And for you, it's an event, but for you and them together, it's just putting everything in writing and being done with it. And let's move on. Let's get this thing started. That should be the feeling, even though it's a little frustrating to feel, because you want to have that feeling of, yes, we got the sale, right? So you can still celebrate behind the scenes, but you can't do that with them. That's the steps. And I think that's why when we read through this question and I kind of alluded to, this shouldn't be a surprise, is because there's some steps in there that are missed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I guess I'm a little bit like Mark, where I approach things a little bit different than you. And I, so the whole reason we're here is for me to learn and for everyone else to learn as we're going along. So, you know, while it makes sense, it's easier said than done, I feel.
Oh, yeah, no question. It takes a lot of little steps to get to that point. So maybe we should back up to that first base step for a second. And let's, you and I just talk through some of those, how to get to know the other person steps that you would want to go through, right? So right. What are some of the steps that when you go through a sale that you try to do or accomplish when you're in that first initial few minutes of the meeting to learn who they are? What are some of the things that you do?
Like the brief introductions, talk a little bit about my business, a little bit about their business, try to understand what they're doing, what they want to accomplish, things like that.
Yeah. And they're all high level, and they're a little bit, for somebody like you and me, that can be, tend to be a little bit more surface and a little bit more impersonal, because you're just starting to try to get to understand some things. And then in reality, the real way you should be doing first base, and this is something that took me a long time to learn, is to get to know the person personally, in a sense of, all right, what's their style? So this is where we go back to DISC, and you go, all right, are they a high D? Are they a high I? Are they a high C or an S? And what are the traits that I should be looking for? So some of the things that I might do in the beginning of a conversation might be just like, hey, is it just going to be you and I meeting today? Yes, it is. Okay. And the way they answer that question is, yes, it is, very quickly and very confidently. I might put a tick mark in my brain that says this person might be a D, but I don't know for sure. If they said, actually, you know what, we're going to have Joyce come over and Bill's going to be here too, that might be an indication that they're an S, because they want to include some other people. They could also be an I. So depending on how their approach was, how they're, the way that they speak about the team, about the other things, it really depends on how they answer some of those questions. And then you start asking a few more questions about, well, tell me a little bit. Now, I noticed before we met, I went online, did a little research. It looks like you guys have been around a long time. How did you start this business? How did you get started with this? Or how did you get into this role? They will start to describe things to you in terms of their personality. It'll be things like, I did this, or we, or because of my team, or that type of stuff. And you'll start to get into these conversations where you feel like, boy, this person is a very inclusive person. This person is a very direct person. This person is very analytical. All those things will start to come out, and you just have to test them by asking additional questions. So that's really what that first base is for. And then if you get into second base, it's some of those pain questions, right? So with pain, in this case, if you're a photographer, let's Lane, you and I put our photographer hats on, and let's pretend we're photographers and we've got this client that's coming in and saying, I have a great idea. I want to create photos of all my products that I'm selling online. We're selling these things on a website. We're selling on Etsy. It doesn't matter where they're selling it. They will need some photography for it. What are some of the questions when you get into the pain for photography? What might be some of those questions?
Who's taking your pictures today? What do you not like about them? What do you like about them?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And if, do they even have pictures, right? Yeah, it's totally true. I don't even know if they have them. Maybe they don't even have them now. Or, well, what's wrong with the pictures you have already? Why is there a problem with those? Now, let's say I ask you, you're the buyer, Lane, and I'm selling to you my photography. And I say to you, What is wrong with the pictures that you have already? You have photography already done. What's wrong? I don't understand. What's wrong?
Oh, I don't like the light. You know, that's the background. I don't want to see my deck on the in the back of the picture. Oh, they're blurry. There's a million different things you come up with.
Yeah, and I, you know, obviously the blurry one would be a very obvious one. Like, okay, that's going to impact things. But if they're like, you know, the lighting just isn't quite right. Well, that could be a signal to you if you're the seller and you're a photographer or with whatever you do, they're critiquing whoever did their job before. That's going to be a red flag to you, should be a red flag to you, where you should say, tell me more about the lighting thing. What do you see? And as a professional, you'll see it, but make them explain it. And if they say, well, it just doesn't look right. And if, well, I don't like the way that it was lit from this angle, it should be more direct or more this or more that. And all of that is subjective in a creative field, right? But if it's something that's where you're repairing windows or you're repairing or you're doing paint work from our house, same thing applies. Well, I don't like the way that it was done before. Well, why not? What? Tell me why. Because the more that they can explain that, the more that you're going to know whether or not you're going to have an issue when you work with them. And this is going to be an issue because they want quality. Now you start to go, okay, they didn't say it outright, but one of their issues is quality. Your next few questions could become quality questions. So Lane, if you're the buyer, I might say to you, well, so you've explained the lighting, you've explained this, you've explained that, all the different details that you had. When you put those photos up, I'm assuming you sold some stuff because you had the photos, no?
Oh yeah, I sold some stuff. I sold some.
So it doesn't sound like you sound, it doesn't sound like you sold enough.
No, I always like to sell more.
Well, sure. I think everybody does, right? So if you had, you're saying you think if you have better photography, that's going to get you more in sales. That was that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
And what happens if we decide to work together? And I'm not saying we will, but if we start working together and then you put these new photos up and the sales don't really change, it's about the same as it was before. What's going to happen then?
I'm going to be a little disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to do that to you. But it's making them think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're thinking, all right, now, does that make them cast doubt about your abilities? Not necessarily. Not if they've already reached out to you, they've done their research, they see your work. Typically, they know, they've gotten a referral, they've seen something of your website, they've seen your work. And I'm assuming if you're a photographer, you're in the creative field, you have something out there of a portfolio that's showing that, right? So they know you can do the work. That's why they called you. So when you're asking those questions, that's going to make them think, yeah, maybe it's something else. So here's why I would do that. I would push them a little bit on the pain side, because if it's really just their SEO, their ability for people to find them on the web, nobody's finding them because when they Google, they're not finding that product and there's somebody else that's beating them out. Well, that the photos aren't going to make any difference. And I don't want them walking away being mad at me, or I would rather have them fix that so that it even amplifies how good of our photos do. And maybe their photos are not that great and they may be right, but I can't tell them that because they need to tell me that. They understand that it's bad if they tell me it's bad. If I tell them it's bad, I'm trying to sell them. And that's why that slow down piece is so important. By slowing them down, you're making them think through all these different things that could be preventing the sale. And in the end, this 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes to get to that point is time well invested with that person from their perspective and from my perspective, so that they feel like they made a really good educated decision and they are ready to move forward, or it's not worth it and it's not worth my time either. So those pain questions become really important. And I think then you start laying around on top of that, the point where you have to really get to in the pain questions is, Lane, you have all these pictures. We've talked about these issues. We know that that's not going to be the issue now. But honestly, I do have to ask this question. If you get new photos, how much more in sales do you think you're going to get?
Hopefully my sales go up by 25%.
25%. And that would be probably good. Is that, I don't know your business very well. Is that really good? Is that average? Is that what you're hoping?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Okay. All right. And so did you say 20%?
25%.
25%. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I did that on purpose. I wanted you to repeat a number that was higher than what I said, because I want you to reinforce in your head, it's going to be the bigger number, even though it's not my number. I didn't give you that number. I thought it was 20 and you said 25. What that does is it makes them hear that number over again. It reinforces what they want to know, is that they feel like their numbers are right and they need to say those things out loud. And by me mistakenly giving you a lower number, that helps me a little bit. And it also helps them understand where they're at. Now, 25%, I don't know numbers very well. So 25%, remind me again, when I looked, kind of numbers were all over the place. Average sale was
$300.
$300. Okay. So 25% on top. I'm not good at math. And I'm going to make you do the math. $300 plus 25%. You said 25, right? Not 20.
Yeah, 25. Yeah.
25. Okay. Just making sure.
So it becomes 375.
375. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not good at math. Listen, this is not why they put me in this job, is math. So, all right, 375. And right now, if you had to guess, how many items do you sell in a day, a week? What's the norm? Is like, you sell one a day? None? What's your average?
Oh, I sell 50 a day.
50 a day. Oh boy. Now, I mean, this is going to be really hard. Can we write these things down? I want to 50. So what does that mean of an increase? Like if you're talking for the year, what is that looking like? Like if that's, so here's what I've done. I put you through all this work with these numbers to make you figure out what those numbers look like. And when we get to the end of that conversation, you say to me, how many dollars?
Just shy of 1.4 million.
1.4 million. That's the difference. That's the increase. Or is that the total sales?
That's the difference. Yeah. 50 times 75.
Yeah.
Times, we'll say 365, include the weekends.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just shy of 1.4 million.
So just over a million. Wait, how much?
1.4, yeah.
1.4, okay. See, one more time, I'm going to make you repeat a bigger number than I know. 1.4 million. All right, so now, So here's what happens. Fast forward, when we get to the budget side, start talking numbers. If they think they're going to have a 25%, even if it's 20%, I mean, I would even push back and say, I don't think 25% is what we're going to hit. I mean, if we hit only 20%, is that going to hurt? Is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, not when I'm looking at an extra 1.4 million.
Thank you. Yeah. So if you bring it down from 25% to 20%, you're still in good shape. Now let's talk about, to the point of, if you get through all that, when you start to get into the third base, you start to end up having these conversations about budget and say, okay, now let's talk a little bit about what it would take to get our project done. You have all these different products. You want to put all these photos up for those individual products. It's going to take some time. So what are you looking at in terms of an investment for our photography to do this? Let me back up, because you know, sometimes when people make, like they change their website, sometimes they forget that it's going to take a little bit of investment to change their website. And so it becomes a big surprise. But when let's say you did your website not too long ago, how much did that end up running you if you don't mind me asking? Well, where did that end up running? Rough numbers. Don't have to give me an exact.
Oh yeah. That was $3,000.
$3,000. So yeah. And that was quite a bit of an investment. What if I said it's more than that for the photography because of the number of quantity of items?
Well, once I've already done the math and I'm looking at an increase of $1.4 million.
Hard to turn down for even if you said 10,000, even if I said 50,000, it's kind of hard for you to say, what? Now that was unrealistic. You were throwing out numbers, just guessing, right? And all of that, but they'll know their numbers. But that scenario has happened to me where I'm in that conversation and you start to do the math with them and you're like, I could charge whatever I want. Now I'm not suggesting that's what you do. I'm just saying it becomes not a negotiation because they already know, no, it's a good investment. Because now my other questions might end up in the pain stuff, might be end up getting into the comments about increase by 25%. That would be just for 1 year. How long do you think you're going to use these photos? Now I'm multiplying your numbers. Like,
yeah.
3 years? Okay. Now it's 3.135. How many million? Like that's the conversation you start getting into. And that's where it's really important. Second base is the most important base to be on. You have to get everything done on second base. Don't ever go to third base before you finish at second.
Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Now, back to the show.
So Rob, I think that all that was great information and very, very valuable and useful, but I'm concerned that we've kind of skipped over Mark's question of how do you stop the client from negotiating?
Yeah. So I think the important piece of all the stuff we just went through is get ahead of it next time, right? And then you won't have any negotiation, but let's talk about how do you get into the negotiation. And when they start saying to you, you know, boy, that price is a little high. You know, in this case, it would be hard for that photography project we were just talking about would say it was too high. But if it was close and it was a little closer, and let's say they thought they'd have a $50,000 increase over the year and your project is going to cost $15,000. Now what? Is this still worthwhile? Maybe. If you talk about the follower, the following years and all that, right? But let's say your project is $15,000 and they're going to actually increase by about $20,000. Now it becomes, oof, I don't know, is this worth it or not?
Right.
Yeah, you're going to eat into my profit. So some statements. So let's do this. Let's do this. Lane, you have, I am sure, heard several statements that have come at you when you're in that negotiation or in that pricing process, when you've forgotten to go through all the pain, because we've all done it. And all of a sudden they come back and say, your price is too high. Now what, right? So let's go through some of those statements. And if somebody says your price is too high and they use those words, because I've heard those words directly, when somebody says to me, your price is too high, my response may not be much of a response. Something I've said before is, okay, and that's it. Because I didn't hear a question. I didn't know what they were asking me. And they're not wrong. It is high. I wouldn't say too high. It's not low. So maybe it's high to you, but for what it's worth, it should be right. So I kind of say, okay, and let them explain. And they may come back and say something else. They may say, well, I was just hoping you'd come in lower. And I would say, okay, I know, but this is where it is. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Because I mean, and if you make that statement, I've had it enough times now where I have come back with, okay, or I'm not sure I understand what you're asking me, or, you know, and they come back and say, well, I want it to be lower. Can you make it the price any lower? You know, I just kind of pause and say to them, I mean, this is the, what it runs. What do you want to do? And when I ask them that question, I've had people say to me, well, I guess that's what it is. Let's go. And when they say that, I have to stop and say, whoa, you just told me that was too high. And now you're telling me, let's go. I'm confused. Because if it's too high and we shouldn't be doing this business together, that's okay. You don't have to tell me that we should go forward and then later on decide we shouldn't. So if it's too high, it's too high. Don't worry about it. And they will push back usually and say, no, it was more than I expected. I have the funds. I wanted to do this and it needs to be done. It's an investment. I know it's long. And they start explaining all the reasons why for you. You don't have to explain anything. And that's how that works, right? But if they come back and say it's too high and you say, it is what it is, what do you want to do? And they say, well, I guess that's it's too high. I guess I can't afford it. I've had them say that too. And I would much rather have that, because at that point in the conversation, I'm still in the budget stage. I haven't written a thing out. I've spent no time writing out an estimate. And if they tell me it's no go, I just save myself at least another half an hour, depending on the project, right? So there's a lot, and some people more than that. So there's a lot of value in going through those numbers as early as possible and getting them to feel like, okay, this is where it will be. If you don't know those numbers, that's okay. You can, you know, there's a process to that. If you're not a one and done, or you're a couple of different meetings, all that still applies. But that's one of those comments I've heard. So I know, Lane, you've heard some other statements, questions, things come back. What have you heard?
Oh, yeah. How can you charge so much?
Yeah. And so when somebody, so maybe we should role play these out a little bit. If you said that to me, my first reaction would have been, I'm not sure I follow why you're asking that question. What do you mean?
that's a tough one to come back and try to explain to someone. Yeah, I don't even know how I would respond to that
without, if you said to somebody,
without myself saying I'm a, yeah, without me sounding like a jerk,
you know, or I've even said, hey, you know what? I've I've heard that before. And I'll laugh a little. I've heard that before, but why do you think we charge this? And they then start to tell me all the reasons why it's worth it. That's what ends up happening when I ask that question back. Why do you think that we charge what we do? Or why do you think that it's that much? It's because blah, blah, blah. They'll tell you, well, the quality, I can see the quality. I can see why. And they convince themselves. They just want you to break down. That's what they're waiting for.
Yeah. It's better for them to sell it to themselves in that regard, rather than you tell them, I've got years of experience, the knowledge you're paying for, the value of what I know and can do and blah, 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 blah.
I will go out on a limb, and anybody listening, please, you tell me if I'm wrong. And this may be a bold statement, may be offensive to some of you out there, but I will say to you, what you just said, Lane, is very true, that they have to sell themselves. I am not going to sell them, right? So I always say, the one thing I always say is, I never close anything. I never close a deal. I never do. The potential client always closes the deal. I let them close it. They always close it. And they always want to close it. They always want to close it faster than I want to close it. And so that's why I always suggest slowing things down. Because if you're trying to push it, they will want to back away. Or if you're trying to argue a point, like, how can you charge so much? Well, we put all this research in and we do this and we do that. You know, our paint colors, it doesn't matter. Everybody else can say the same thing. Why does they care? Why does it make any difference? There's no difference between you and your competitor. I'm sorry, there's nothing. If you think there is, try this. Quit your job today. If you're a salesperson, quit your job today. Take your paperwork of all the different things and points that you're going to sell your product that you were just finished selling on. Go to the nearest competitor and start working for them. And now tell that same customer that you're going to go talk to try to sell to, tell them why that company is even better. And then guess what? The points are going to be the same points. They're going to say, well, the color is this, the quality is that. They're all saying the same thing. So yeah. to sell to somebody and to push somebody, it doesn't work. It does if you're lucky. What I suggest to you is that if you let them sell themselves and let them close themselves, it becomes so much easier. So let's hear another little statement that you have that you've heard.
Oh, one of my favorites is, my nephew could do it for free.
All right. So that my question back would be, so I'm a little confused. I don't mean anything by this, but why would you even talk to somebody like me? I mean, if it's free, I would go for that.
Yeah. If it's free, it's for me, right?
That's right. So listen, if that means I didn't get this job, that's okay. I'm totally okay with that. Cause if you've got a better deal with it free, I mean, they're going to argue back. No.
You can take better pictures than he can. Well, all right.
They say that to me and I have to come back with, well, why? I don't understand why you wouldn't just use him or her. Like, if that's the person that's giving it to you for free, why wouldn't you just use that? I don't understand. I've even had it where a competitor is already doing the work and now they want me to come in and do something just different. And now they're like, well, they weren't charging me that much. I'm like, okay. Yeah,
they're doing half price.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm confused. I don't know why did you call me then? Because it sounded to me earlier like, and maybe I'm wrong, but it sounded like you wanted to change companies. But if that's not the case, that's okay. Like, it's totally okay. And they have to make a decision. Do I want to pay a little bit more for quality, whatever that is, or stay the same? And it's okay either way to me. It doesn't matter to me. What other statements? Any else good ones?
Sure. I'm pretty confident my dog could do it better.
What kind of dog do you have?
A really, really intelligent one.
Really?
Dude, with opposable thumbs too.
All right. Well, then I need one of those because I could use somebody on my team. If he's willing to have a job, I will take it. I bring him over.
He works for dog food too.
Oh, perfect. Kibble. So do I. That's perfect.
Have you ever had anyone ask you if you're crazy?
Yes. I have. Are you crazy? Yes. Yes, I am.
That's a very simple response.
Next question. I've even had somebody reply in an email because I was doing something back and forth. And it wasn't numbers or anything like that, but there was a statement I made and then he sent it back. He thought he was sending it to his business partner. He only sent it to me and said, "This guy's on better drugs than we are." And I was like, "What? I don't know how to take that." So I actually had picked up the phone and called him. And I said, "You know, as a matter of fact, I might be, but I'm kind of curious what you mean. What statement made you say that?" And he kind of explained, he's like, "I'm sorry. I was only joking around." But it was one of those, I didn't know what he meant. And because what I put in there was some details of things that were, you know, what was going into his project. And he didn't like it apparently. So that's fine. And we ended up on, in that particular case, I ended up saying to him, "Listen, it doesn't sound like we're a good fit. That's okay. I'll go back to my drugs. You go back to yours. And that's totally fine." And he's like, "Okay." So it was weird, but what do you do? Any other ones that you could think of at all or no?
No, I think those are the highlights.
All right. All right. I would love if you have anybody out there listening has other statements that they've heard that they go, "How do I reply to this?" Please just send it in, because these are fun. I look forward to this part of the sale, because if I've done everything correctly, all of the conversation about pain, and then we get into the budget part, and then we get into the, here's what it's going to run from an investment standpoint. And if they start replying with that, then I'm like, okay, I don't like, what am I supposed to do? This is what it runs. This is what it takes. You know what it takes. I know. So I don't need to say anything more than, yeah, that's what it's going to take to do this job. And if the more that you hold your line, the more that you hold your own place and say, yeah, this is what it is. How do you negotiate with that? That's hard. You can't negotiate with somebody that doesn't negotiate.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't. So hopefully that helps. Anybody else out there that may have experienced the same thing? Mark up there in Connecticut, we appreciate your writing us with this question. Any other tips that you have, Lane?
It sounds like from everything we've covered, Rob, the secret really is listen more than you talk.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's why I think that's one of the big takeaways that I've heard is you throw it, you sprinkle in your little questions here and there, listen more, talk less, and you just kind of stand your ground. This is what it's going to be. And at the end of the day, if they choose to be your client, then that's great. And if not, no harm. Everyone goes their own way and you're on to the next deal.
Yeah. And that's why we really talk about, and we say in our promo stuff that if you just slow down, you'll close more. It's amazing to me. By just allowing the potential client to talk and go through the stuff that they need to go through and explain to you all the different things they need to explain to you, as long as you're using the techniques and the process to get them there, they'll close more often just by slowing down. You don't even have to try. It always reminds me of when you go to a job interview, the interviewer asks you a question and then they sit quiet. And then all of a sudden you feel like you have to talk. And then it's all over. You talked yourself out of a job potentially. So don't let that happen to you in sales, because that's the same thing. You're the interviewer. You need to be the interviewer, not the potential job hire. You are the one that needs to be interviewing and asking the questions.
It really sounds counterintuitive, but I can see how the process works if you just stick to it. So why don't we go ahead and wrap this episode? We really appreciate everyone listening, and we'll see you next time, Rob.
All right, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Slow down and close more.